We're synced. Welcome back, everybody, to another, you know, action-packed episode of Dark Sunsets. JR,
what is good, brother?
How are we doing today, man? It's a beautiful evening here, and you were just syncing your watch, so you're feeling good about jumping on this pod.
Yeah, no, we're synced up and just, you know, getting ready to provide that fire content, you know, back to the fans that they love so much, you know?
And I love that because just before we selected record on this episode, we were looking at our set list for tonight and thinking about the titles of all of these stories. And it looks like a serial murderer has actually written those titles out because it's one of those type of episodes that we have for everybody this evening.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, it's definitely a good mixed bag of stories, activities, and whatnot. And just, you know, just we haven't seen you guys or talked to you guys or, you know, you guys haven't heard us in about 2 weeks. So, as always, the darker the sunsets, the brighter the days.
Hey, so we're really just going to dive into this. And I'm sure everyone that's listening, we value and obviously appreciate you guys listening in. But I know you've heard about this chicken sandwich gate that's been happening across potentially the world, but what we see in America, which is Chick-fil-A versus Popeyes.
Yeah, so this is definitely the current trend of the rest of summer 19. It's, you know, Popeyes just came out with a new chicken sandwich. You know, Popeyes is more well known for their, I guess it would be like just chicken boxes or, you know, boneless strips, stuff like that. But they came out with the chicken sandwich that was, you know, on a brioche bun. I don't know the full details of it, but it's like a chicken breast or something like that. Popeye style with the Popeye spices and on a brioche bun.
The fact that there's a brioche bun on a Popeye's, I think that's the fanciest thing they absolutely have on their menu. The brioche bun.
That's what's setting it off. And I think it's been driving the fans wild. So, you know, this brioche bun technically has got people going crazy. You know, Chick-fil-A is the originator of the world famous chicken sandwich, if you will, I guess, because Everybody loves Chick-fil-A. At least most people I know that are these, you know, not serial killers, enjoy Chick-fil-A.
I mean, they really set the standards, right? Like, as we're talking about this, when you think of a chicken sandwich or a true chicken sandwich, it is the Chick-fil-A sandwich. I don't think you can really compete with that. And that's what's so great about this chicken sandwich gate is now Popeyes, that are renowned for having an amazing fried chicken, they're stepping into the arena here, bro. And let me just share with you guys on this episode this evening, JR and I's plan was to actually have a full-on taste test of both sandwiches.
Yep.
However, my experience took a kind of a detour because I went to not only one, but two Popeyes locations locally here, and both of them did not have the Popeyes chicken sandwich available.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be a live taste test. We're supposed to have, you know, a regular and a spicy from both, you know, Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, and we're supposed to live taste test, give you guys live reaction, you know, live feedback. It apparently is not going to happen until hopefully next recording, just because people, this brioche bun is just setting it off.
It's really pandemonium. I mean, let me just tell you. So I drove into one, and there was a line around the actual store, like a Chick-fil-A, like that type of experience. So right away they're getting way more traffic than they normally do. And as I pulled up, it kind of occurred to me when I looked at the actual menu that, you know, when you look at a drive-through menu and, you know, they have these different sections of the menu that they're highlighting in order to say, like, oh, you know, try the Crunchwrap Supreme if it's in Taco Bell.
Right.
So for this, there were actually two pieces of the menu missing, which where they would be featuring some type of entree.
Right.
So
right.
I have a feeling what has happened is, not only have they taken down the featured Chick-fil-A or the chicken sandwich on the Popeyes menu because so many people were coming in, as I pull up, she literally told me that we don't have any chicken sandwiches before I even said what I wanted to order.
Yeah, I'm thinking that everybody that is going to these Popeyes now is looking for said unicorn, this chicken sandwich. And I think that I feel like almost deep down that it's like a marketing ploy where they did come out with the chicken sandwich and they made it. They might only had just a few.
Yeah.
So people could actually eat it.
Like Willy Wonka with the golden ticket.
Yeah. It's like that, you know, people could at least try it and at least have it so they could talk about it. But then it creates this demand. So now They have cardboard signs. People yeah. just when if you pull up and automatically they're telling you we don't have that. I'm guessing everybody that has pulled up to the Popeyes drive-thru has been asking about this chicken sandwich.
Exactly. And I think they're actually educating their employees to use that marketing ploy, as you're mentioning, because when I pulled up to the first one and because I couldn't get a chicken sandwich, I decided to get something else. Like, I think I got a 5-piece just to snack on, which I feel 1,000 pounds because we've been eating other stuff as well. But the woman, I go up to the drive-thru and there's two ladies and I'm like, hey, you know, are there no chicken sandwiches? And she goes, no, but there are going to be some next week. And then they both pause and look at me and they both go, you're going to be back here, right? And I'm like, these motherfuckers, they're selling me on coming back with a big ass smile. And, you know, when there's a lady in an apron, you trust her, in my opinion. You have to trust her.
That's the one sign of true comfort. You know, like any lady that has an apron, I would think is going to be a very nice person, just very responsible. But I think the other thing that's been kind of crazy, people that love Chick-fil-A will always say, you know, they'll wake up on a Sunday and they'll say, oh, man, you know, it'd be nice to have a Chick-fil-A sandwich or have Chick-fil-A right now. And Popeyes is open on Sunday. So if this brioche bun is just, you know, spanking Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday, then they're already getting the market share of Sundays. They're taking over Sundays.
Yeah.
And then now by this demand that's going crazy where people are just, you know, lining up out of the streets and all this other stuff. And Popeyes is fire anyway. But
I mean, you and just to talk on that, you've always been a huge fan and supporter, which you probably have stock in Popeyes, but
200%.
I'm sure it's just in Cajun Sparkle stocks, but 200%. You've always been pro Popeyes, and I'm like, all right, I guess I got to get down and try this and see what it's all about. And I'm a fan of what I sampled this evening. It wasn't my first time I've had it in airports and stuff, but the sandwich could change the game.
That I think is something about this allure of this bun, though, because I haven't seen, like, I've seen people go crazy for, you know, the 2-piece and a biscuit, or, you know, oh, there's a new shrimp tackle. I've seen people go, you know, they get excited about it. But
yeah,
this has been actually, like, my buddy Tony had actually sent me a screenshot from somebody's, like, somebody posted on Facebook, like, it was like a brother talking to a sister. I think it was like 30 minutes ago. But the guy basically was comparing the Popeyes chicken sandwich to the Chick-fil-A sandwich. And he said it was like the 1996 Bulls versus like the current like Joel Embiid Philadelphia 76ers. Or he compared it to, you know, the top of the line gold Haribo gummy bears versus, you know, getting some under the desk gum. He compared it as Tom Brady versus the short-lived quarterback, or short NFL career, I should say, quarterback Jamarcus Russell.
So he's clearly all in on Popeyes, is what we're getting to on this one.
The rant he had, I mean, it was a good maybe, you know, 15-20 line rant. People are really getting passionate about this. They're posting a lot of memes. They're posting a lot of skits where people are getting into, you know, fake fights about this whole situation. So, you know, hopefully we will be able to get the live taste test to you guys next week. But J-Rob did travel across the county to multiple Popeyes locations trying to get said Popeyes, and it wasn't the cards for today's taste test.
I tried to do it for the pod. I really did. I tried to even call a third location, and their phone was off the hook. You know when you used to, like, back in the day would call a landline, and it would just go beep, 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 beep. So literally they were probably getting so many calls that they took off their phone and then just pulled it on the side. But yeah, I'm really interested to see what this is going to be all about. But one thing before we dive into the actual stories and we jump out of Chicken Gate is when you think about how a Chick-fil-A employee treats you versus how a Popeyes employee treats you, right? Like if I'm potentially like talking to a girl and I look at, let's say she's like, oh, you know, here's my resume. And on her resume, she worked at a Chick-fil-A for maybe a year or 2 years. She's probably a wife style material. But if I look at a resume of a Popeyes individual,
she's probably a lifestyle material.
And thank you for and pro Popeyes all day. And trust me, I'm preferring and I love the sense of being talked shit to, but you just feel so elegant and great when you go in and out of a Chick-fil-A, where if I go to a Popeyes, you pull up to a drive-thru and you don't even know they're open. They don't even want to know my name. You know what I mean? Like, there's no one saying, hey, who's this order for? They're just like, No joke. Just to summarize this, I tried to go ahead like you can do in Chick-fil-A, like you can order your condiments in advance. You can order like Polynesian.
Right.
I tried to say, hey, I'd love some Cajun Sparkle or even like I think it was like Buffalo Blue or Sweet Heat at Popeyes.
Yeah.
She snapped right away and goes, "You're gonna have to order those at the window." I'm like,
I guess it's like with, you know, if you got that great quality food. They're doing the it's like the same but opposite type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like you got great quality food. You're either gonna be super duper polite about it, or you're just gonna be sassy and just not give a fuck. You know, it's one of those two. But we will get this taste test to you.
We will.
You know, one way or the other. But you know, just chime in if you have had the Sammy.
Let us know
with the brioche bun. You know, but
half of the Popeyes employees can't spell brioche, bro. And you know that. And that's not a dig at any of the Popeyes employees, okay?
I can't even spell brioche. I don't even know. But no, so to get to our next story, though, we got another food-based story. And, of course, if you guys have always tuned in to us, we always try to sneak in a quick Florida man story as well. So this is a combo. There was a Florida man who was arrested for allegedly breaking into a Wendy's in order to steal the safe. But before he wanted to steal the safe, he wanted to also cook a burger.
Which I think is everything around this, right? Like, if you pull into a Wendy's or you think about the Wendy's food for the most part, what is this guy even thinking? So a guy literally broke into a Wendy's and promptly hit the grill to craft himself a quick meal, then snagged a safe before ultimately being arrested. Obviously, this news article, they're shitting on Florida, as we all know. That's where the best stories come from. That's why we're staying here, because, you know, we know that this is the best content and the best state to have that. So what's interesting is looking at the actual person who did this, JR, as you can see, they did nicknamed, as the detectives did call him, the Hamburglar, pretty standard. But he literally fired up the grill and made himself a burger before being arrested.
Now, this is a pretty gangster. Just as a whole, I mean, because not only, I guess he took a brick, you know, some sort of like large rock, whatever, tossed it through the Wendy's window, you know, after they were closed, got inside, and then, you know, made himself a burger. I'm guessing he didn't think that there would be like an alarm that would be triggered or something, because he decided to enjoy his late night dinner, sit down, he crushed the entire burger, like, I don't know. He might have had his legs up, like his feet up on one of the benches chilling, but he ate the entire burger and then was like, all right, well, you know, I ate. I'm good. Decided to then get the safe. And then he tried to get out of the building by then, but, you know, he got arrested shortly after that. But it's crazy that he decided to go into – he went in. Like, it's like if you're going to break into a place and steal something, wouldn't you steal – wouldn't you just get in and get out and just dip?
You would think so.
It takes a certain level of ballsiness, a certain level of lack of common sense, and just a certain level of, you know, idiocracy, like stupidity. At least he might not have had a grill at home or something like that, maybe. So he just really was hungry, you know, because stealing and breaking into a place could really work up an appetite. But this guy from the photo, he looks like he's known his way around some food. He's not, you know, thin or wasting away. So, you know, I had asked for the common sense, you know, for the upcoming birthday. And, yeah, no, he sat there, enjoyed the Hamburglar, enjoyed the full dinner, and then busted into his Wendy's.
I mean, yeah, this guy is on a whole new level. For him to actually, as you mentioned, I'll take one characteristic side you just described there. I just think the amount of confidence that he was able to jump in there, do this, fire up the grill, cook the burger, which I kind of want to know what burger was. Was it, you know, a junior bacon cheeseburger? Was it a Baconator? Because if you're making all that trouble to break in, you're going to have something like ginormous, you would think. But yeah, this guy, and how did this article not pinpoint this? But he's obviously getting arrested for burglary.
Yeah.
I mean, how
burger.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, that's the daddest joke I've ever done ever. But I mean, this is hilarious. And Jensen Beach, obviously, if you've never been down there, a pile of characters. So what we're essentially saying is, you know, if you're breaking into a place, make it somewhat of a, I wouldn't say fine dining restaurant, but maybe a little bit better so you can eat a little bit healthier and not just have some terrible choice of a Wendy's cheeseburger.
And the thing that, just to like really cap it off, I guess this guy has been successful before at you know, forcing his way into restaurants, because he had previously broke into or forced his way into two other restaurants and cooked himself dinner. And then, you know, and then what he they said that what he couldn't consume, then he decided to steal. So, I mean, he's known his way to breaking, eating and it, breaking, eating and entering and then stealing. But it's like, have you done it twice already? I mean, I don't know.
Like, do you think, and I want to know your thoughts on this. Like, when you think of like a, what can be in a safe at a Wendy's, do you think outside of what just money, like, do you think there's like a certain thing in there that they're like hiding from the public? Like, maybe in a McDonald's, it could be a ribicue, or like, what's it called? A McRib when it comes back. Maybe it's like an off menu item when they're like, oh, is that what you want? And they have to open up the safe and be like, let me open this to see. What if it was another burger that he actually fucking just cooked is in the safe, and that's what he did to all this just for that?
100%. It's either the recipe for a low-key, like, strawberry frosty, or
it's just one piece of paper.
Or, you know, Baconators. It's either of the two. Like, there's no way. And this guy's 34 years old, so he should know better, but he'll figure it out, because he's facing charges of burglary. Burglary, grand theft, and attempted burglary. So, you know, we won't be hearing from him anytime soon, but at least with the time that he's going to be spending in jail, he at least, you know, got a full meal prior to going in.
Let him live. I mean, he's doing his thing. And I know we're talking about food a lot here, and I'm sure that's making you hungry, and it's making me hungry as well. But we can also talk about beverages as well. So let's talk about beverages and what's been happening in Costa Rica, which is not so great. So Costa Rica's health ministry has updated the death toll of people being poisoned by tainted alcohol in the Central American country up to 25 people now. So 59 people have actually been hospitalized and 25 have died. And what's been happening is essentially that the ministry has been saying that there has been more than 55,000 containers of alcohol that were said to be laced with methanol, a colorless poisonous alcohol found in antifreeze.
Huh.
Wow. So adding methanol to distilled beverages allows sellers to increase the volume of liquid. So what we're seeing here, and I think you can see this as well, is what were they doing? They were taking, let's say, a bottle of Tito's, pouring half of the Tito's out, and then filling the rest with something like this to make it look like a full bottle and to have a similar effect of being drunk, when in reality they were actually poisoning the people who were buying.
Giving them antifreeze.
Yeah, so this is some harsh stuff. So if you're traveling down to Costa Rica, if anyone has any plans that are coming up, but this seems to be common. It seems to be a common thing that's happening. It's counterfeit alcohol. So it's an often term that's used where unregulated actual alcohol is actually fraudulent, and it's an imitation of the legitimate product that's actually being tampered by refilling it with some type of toxic form, such as this methanol or ethanol, which is essentially like what you find in gas, bro.
Yeah. So I was going to say, at least if there was going to be a positive twist that you could take from this, so far the Costa Rican Tourism Institute had said that there was no tourists that, you know, were affected by the tampered with alcohol. But it's like they're basically taking a product, a brand name, and they're cutting it.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me of what's that movie with Denzel, the Blue Magic?
Training Day?
Where he was the American Gangster.
American Gangster.
And he has that whole speech where he's like, you know, Blue Magic is a brand name. You know, you don't mess with a brand name. That's trademark infringement. It's like, you don't mess with something that's like a nice Tito's soda lime. People will order that. But now if you're killing people, tamper people won't travel there.
Right.
That's going to mess with the economy and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't even, like, I'm just going to stick to the Trulies, the White Claws, you know.
You're like, if I see Tito's with two T's, and like there are three T's in Tito's, you're like, this is something that I'm not absolutely going to consume whatsoever.
If the S is crooked in Tito's, you know,
anything. It's that dollar sign S that you used to draw in middle school. It's like the sideways S. But yeah, what they're saying now is, how can you actually avoid it? So here's how this article gets really entertaining for us to definitely riff on. There's three reasons how you can avoid this, right? So the first one is, don't buy bargain bin liquor. Okay. So if you've ever heard of the label, if you've never heard of the label or the price and it sounds too good to believe, chances are it probably is. So what they're saying is the group says the beverages may be watered down with jet fuel, antifreeze, or other chemicals that are toxic to humans. So if you look in a liquor store and you see some type of brand like Captain Mormon instead of Captain Morgan, you're probably going to look at that. But I would still buy the knockoff brand if it was like cereal. You know what I mean? Is this applied for liquor and cereal? Like, I'm buying bargain cookies if they're good.
Like, it's not like Walmart where they have like the throwback bin or Target where they have like the rollback prices and stuff.
Right.
But when you go to a liquor store, traditionally, I don't, at least in my memory, I don't recall seeing a bunch of just bargain bin stuff. Like, I mean, they might have like maybe some pop-off vodka, but it's all on the shelf. It's all in the lanes or the shelves of the same brand. So you have like from cheapest to most expensive, like vodkas, yeah. Cheapest to most expensive whiskeys, yeah. All that stuff. So, I mean, if I'm going to a place and I see bargain bin liquor, like if I see a bin with like, oh, like 2-for-1s or whatever, yeah, no thanks, like peace.
Exactly, it's peace to that. It's exactly like going to like a Walmart and seeing like a bargain bin DVD collection.
Yes, yes.
I'm not going to look at that and be like, oh, you know what I've always wanted to watch? I've always wanted to watch Mary Poppins on DVD. Like, that's never something that I've wanted to do.
The collector's edition.
So essentially what we're trying to get to is just avoid any bargain bin unless it's something that's really quality that improves your life. But just to finalize here, they also told everyone to avoid home brews. So trying bootleg local booze may sound like an adventure, but the opportunity to actually pursue to be killed is highly increased if you try these home brews. So 31 people, actually, they're putting it on a different country in India. 31 people and 160 people were actually hospitalized. 31 died by drinking a home brew that was laced with methyl alcohol. So another thing that's super toxic that you can just die from completely.
And then, you know, to cap off the, you know, your safety warnings that they wanted to let you know, I mean, back to the common sense thing, they're actually saying to read the packaging. Like, wow, I can't believe, like, so you just go purchase some alcohol. But yeah, they're telling you to read the packaging, which, okay, cool, like, makes sense. It says, look out for poor quality labeling, including spelling mistakes and tampered bottles. We already mentioned if it was, like, Tito's with 3 T's.
We can't have that.
You know, anything like that. But, you know, just really be careful, because I know that there's the kids out there that run around and they try to just get high off of whatever, get drunk off whatever and stuff.
Yeah, Tide Pods, yeah, as we talked about.
All that stuff. It's, like, just don't actually do anything that's going to kill you. Yeah. We'll move on from the Costa Rican drinks. I'm not going to be in Costa Rica anytime soon. But I do plan on taking some flights. And so when we're talking about flights, I'd like to bring to you a story about a New York airport worker who ended up getting fired for handing a traveler a spunky note. And so there was a man at an airport in New York that complained because an airport worker just walked up to him, handed him a note, and the note said, "You ugly." And, you know, he just passed him the note as he was just passing through security. And so surveillance footage actually had captured the whole incident. You know, the employee that was, you know, working there or whatever had passed the man the note. And then the actual video has the employee in full laughter, like she's living.
Oh yeah, she's laughing at her other coworker as the coworker is giving him the note, and the guy just looks confused more than anything, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks frustrated, flustered. Like, I don't know. I mean, he just, you know, when you're traveling, you're not expecting that. Like, they try to give you the pat downs. You have to go through the whole body scanner and all this other stuff. But so when he's talking to NBC News, he says, you know, I was more confused than anything. I kind of just looked at it and thought that was weird. I don't like throwing negativity around. What about a note that says, "Hey, next time bring me tacos"? And then, so basically, you know, this whole interview, he seems like he's just kind of innocent going through the whole thing. But, you know, TSA, pretty much they try to, at least, you know, per their release, they try to hold their contractors to the highest ethical standards. And so, I mean, if I don't know what you guys would do, but if you had an employee that just decided to pass a note to somebody and the note just said, "You ugly," I don't think that you would keep that person on the staff.
No, that is not an employee that you want to keep involved. I mean, if you have a good relationship with that person, but you can't be telling people that they're ugly to their face via a note. Yeah. You're never going to see these people again. I mean, this guy was flying into Rochester Airport. He could have either becoming or going somewhere. And the last thing he obviously wants to see is like, man, I'm having a rough day. And also, by the way, TSA thinks you're ugly.
So, you know, the employee was fired. You know, we're not going to spend too much more time on that just because it was, you know, it was touch and go, you know, not to use any airport jargon. But, you know, that was all done. But, you know, from that story of the airport worker thinking that the traveler was ugly, we had, I guess, the next story is something of, I guess you'd call it attraction.
Yeah, and we can definitely dive into it. So similarly close to New York is a place, obviously, just outside of Connecticut, which is Fairfield, Connecticut. A group of senior citizens were actually arrested in Connecticut after they were observed engaging in lewd sexual activity in a conservation area. So I started laughing because the next line says there was five men and one woman in ranges of age from 62 to 85.
Yeet.
They were found in possession of magazines and condoms in the conservation area. So they listed out all the names and all the ages, but I really want to know, what was the age of the lady? I mean, I hope she wasn't on the higher scale of 85.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was the 62-year-olds really just plotting this. So police, when they arrested them, they claimed that they had several complaints about the area where there were people that were claimed to come across others using the area for a meetup spot for sex. They found ads on the internet inviting like-minded folks of the spot. They also found similar ads for a nearby commuter parking lot and an interstate adjacent McDonald's. All of the seniors that were arrested were set free with promise to return to court. So the 67-year-old Dobbin had faced similar charges in the past. He was charged. This was one of the guys that obviously met up with four other guys for one woman who were praying that was not 85. He was charged with a breach of peace in 2017 after park goers reportedly said that he was walking around naked. When officers arrived, they found him in his car with a shirt and a pair of shorts draped over him, and he said he was naked for medical reasons.
Well, I mean,
so
I'll give you guys a quick rundown. So there was Daniel Dobbin, who was 67. He got charged with a breach of peace and public indecency. Then next up, we had 62-year-old Otto D. Williams, who was charged with a breach of peace. Next up in line, we got Charles L. Ardito. He's 75 years old. He was charged with a breach of peace. Then we have John Lenartz. He's 62, and he's charged with a breach of peace and public indecency. So next up on the scale, we have 82-year-old Richard Butler, which, you know, he only got charged with a breach of peace. But poor Joyce Butler, the lady that spearheaded this whole situation, charged with the breach of peace, at a ripe young age of 85.
God so damn it.
You were worried my about
prayers,
it.
My prayers were not answered.
I mean, talk about the ultimate cougar trap in a conservation area. Joyce Butler is, I guess, just taking him to church. I don't know. I mean, good Lord.
I mean, I really think we should get Joyce on the podcast. Hopefully, knock on wood, you know, this article was produced a week ago. She's not dead from what happened in this park.
I think the problem was Joyce was knocking on too much wood. And that's what got this whole situation
we
started.
We have so many dad jokes for days in this fucking episode. But yeah, knock on wood, everything is hopefully great with Joyce. I mean, it sounds like all of her functions and body parts are working excessively too well at 85 if she's willing to take on five guys and not the fucking burger place as we're talking about.
And so this actually happened in Fairfield, Connecticut, but you know, the funniest thing was that you kept saying like, I hope it wasn't her that was like the 85-year-old, and I had seen this
you
before,
were ready, dude.
I was laughing, but I didn't want to laugh through what you were saying.
When I was looking across, I could just see your eyes like starting to go wider and wider, and in my mind I'm like, she's 85. So speaking of old things that are returning, we are going to close this episode with a new form of sports, and we're really excited. Obviously, fall is hitting hard now. Fantasy football is really approaching, and you know, shout out to everyone drafting their teams. Hopefully, Zeke comes to a conclusion and Gordon, so I can draft either one of them. I'm pros of both. But there's a new NFL, there's a new football league that's rapidly approaching, and we'd love to hear more about it.
So it's actually kind of an old league. You guys might remember the XFL. It was created by Vince McMahon, who, you know,
WWE Vince McMahon.
Well, yeah, it was like WWF back
WWF,
in the day,
yeah.
And then became WWE.
Yeah.
And so they had a football league where it was the XFL, like the Extreme Football League. And I remember they had players could put their nicknames on the back of their jerseys. So I remember there was a guy who was like, "He hate me," and then there was another guy who was like, "He hate me too," like T-O-O. And so like the league, I think it only lasted a season and stuff, and it kind of fizzled out. But then, so Vince McMahon's back at it again. He brought back the XFL, and so now it has 8 teams. And I mean, I guess they probably licked their wounds. They had time to kind of figure out what they did right, what they did wrong, and maybe be a little bit progressive with some of the rules. I know that they're going to do like more interesting extra points and speed up the play clock, so there's a better pace of action and whatnot. So the 8 teams that are out there, for all you sports fans, I'll rank them, or I'll give them to you in order of just boringness of their logos. But we've got the Washington, D.C. Defenders. We have the Houston Roughnecks, the Seattle Dragons, the L.A. Wildcats, the Tampa Bay Vipers.
I know.
The New York Guardians. We got the Dallas Renegades and the St. Louis Battlehawks. So we already had discussed this, but the top two logos, I would think, and I think you also kind of agree with that, is the St. Louis Battlehawks and the Dallas Renegades.
Yeah, I mean, they're great. And when you guys get a chance and you're listening to here, get a chance to look at the logos. And I'm sure if you're listening in, you know, some of these markets, you probably have one of these teams in your backyard. But Tampa Bay, who the fuck designed this logo, JR?
So I feel like with the Dragons, the Seattle Dragons, the Tampa Bay Vipers, possibly the New York Guardians. Like, I'm still not sure how I feel about that because it kind of looks almost like a lion slash like avatar creature. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But then like the LA Wildcats and the Houston Roughnecks, I feel like those logos are almost something that I could have put together with like Photoshop Mobile.
Easily.
Or if somebody would, like, if I was looking for graphic design, I would probably outsource this to Fiverr, you know, Fiverr.com, and then just have like somebody drop it for $5, whatever. But
new sponsor coming soon.
But at least, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, because there was another football league. It was like that we have the Canadian Football League, but there is the American Football League. I think that was just out. Yep. And Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, was one of the players out there. And that league was doing great, except for when it didn't do great, and then it just crumbled upon itself, and then it just ran out of steam. So, you know, that league ended up being shut down. So hopefully, you know, there's nothing that's going to replace NFL football. But hopefully this could be almost like a step for those players that can't make it to the NFL or are trying to make it to the NFL. So at least we have a higher quality of football where we get more football, you know, that at a higher level. It's going to be ideally better than college, but maybe not quite as good as the NFL.
I'm stoked for this. I think obviously you remember the game NFL Blitz growing up, right?
Right.
So I wonder if, you know, you think about the rules themselves, are those going to, and I don't know too much about the league as we're talking about this, but I wonder if, you know, the rules are going to be a little different where, you know, they have 4 downs to score. If it's going to be regulation, I wonder if there's going to be, you know, just better rules or better things that can happen and not as penalized as the NFL to increase the action.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have the first or the official draft, I think, is going to take place October this year. And then like the training camps and stuff start in like just the first quarter of next year. So when we get a little bit more info, we'll touch base with you. But you know, college football does, in fact, start this weekend. So, you know, go Noles, Florida State all day. Congrats to everybody for making it through another, you know, dry season of no football. So we got college football coming, then NFL is a couple weeks out.
It's back, dude. It feels like it's been gone for so long, NFL.
Yeah, I mean, NFL has definitely been gone for a while, but I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, Chris Hansen say, you know, here comes the Jets on NFL Red Zone. But yeah, thank you all for just, you know, being out here. You know, we've been, you know, just grinding, getting this money, you know, getting this hustle on. So, you know, we're just trying to give you guys all the best. And, you know, as always, peace.